And we pray that Pastor Jim will keep a lot better. It's not easy having a bad hip. And I know that he had an operation, is it 2-3 years ago for one? Time passes by so quickly. I had the same operation, but he's going to have it another time, I believe. So we need to pray for him in these days. And Rhoda apologises, she can't be here with us this morning. And she was working last night, and she was very, very tired. Sometimes she does come with me, and always miss her whenever she's not here. I don't miss some of the things she says to me whenever I make a mistake or I go on too long or something like that. But our ministry started with our marriage, really, because we were married in 1980. It wasn't yesterday, was it? And just after we come home from our honeymoon holiday, whatever you might call it these days, we started straight into church work in Belfast. And we've been together in the ministry for quite a few years now. So I do miss her this morning. But, you know, the way she sends her greetings here to you today, I feel she's partly with us as well. That was a lovely hymn we were singing there, Amazing Grace. And it's just that word grace I would like to share with you just now. At Christmas time, almost every Christmas, I love to read the portion from John's Gospel about the Incarnation, and I want to read a wee bit from God's Word now. It speaks about the word grace. I love that verse that John pens here. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And Lenny said, there's only one thing that we need to do, and that is to trust him fully and his grace. So we'd like to read just a few verses down that chapter, the first chapter of John's Gospel. Jesus has always been there, co-equal and co-existent with the Father. And John puts it beautifully in the first verse. In the beginning, he was with God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In other words, Jesus is God. It says the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. And without him, there wasn't anything made that is made. Then it goes on, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness can never overcome it. Isn't it lovely to know? In the world in which we live, there's a lot of darkness around. And I was just saying to Lenny there in the vestry, COVID has taken a lot out of many things. But it's also good to know that there's grace and there's light, and it comes from the Creator of all good things. I love in that 17th verse of John's Gospel, chapter 1, for the law was given by Moses. What a wonderful servant of the Lord. The law was given by Moses, but there was a greater to come. It says, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Let's repeat that together. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace came through our Saviour. And then the Apostle Paul takes up that lovely word grace in the book of Ephesians. I love these verses, and we haven't got time to read all two chapters. It says, for by grace are we saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. What is grace? Grace is the gift of God. Our salvation is not by works, because then we would have something to congratulate ourselves for. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. But whenever grace comes to the life, it tells us we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. When did that happen? happened a long, long time ago in eternity. Created in Christ Jesus, he had us on his mind. And it goes on to say that we are his workmanship, and God ordained that way before you and me were born, way before the foundation of the world. Christmas is all about grace. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. And Jesus came into the world, and the Word became flesh, and that hymn goes on, and oh, the grace that brought it down to man. For by grace, we are saved through faith. I know we're living in bad times, evil times, wicked times, and dark times. Not only has COVID been with us now for the past couple of years, almost, but we live in a dark world. I remember Queen Elizabeth said in one of her speeches, one Christmas, that it is a totally changed world than the world that she was born into. And how many of us could say that this morning? Things have changed dramatically, and things have changed maybe not for the good. But then the church and the grace that is in Christ, in his church, brings us positive thoughts and positive feelings. This is the main theme of the Bible, isn't it? Saved by his grace. And whenever Paul was writing to the elders at the church there at Ephesus, he emphasized the fact that they were good elders, faithful elders. And we could look over our own churches today and say, there are faithful people in every one of our good churches. Faithful men, strong women, young people who truly love the Lord. And Paul was saying here that he wanted to commend them on what they had done for the Lord. But the greater than that in the book of the Revelation, whenever the Lord Jesus speaks to the seven churches at Ephesus, he tells this particular church how faithful they have been. They are the people of grace. The word grace is mentioned over and over again in the book of Ephesians. And in fact, it's mentioned no less than 12 times. But in the whole of the Bible, I'm told that the word grace is mentioned no less than 178 times. So there must be something of importance that God has for us by his grace. Grace is the key word, not only in this epistle, not only the key word in John chapter 1, but it's the key word in our lives when the grace of God comes our way. It's a lovely word. It means the kindness of God. God's kind. God's good. And God's willing to bless his people. The kindness of God. But who is this kindness towards? It's towards you and me as spiritual paupers. Dead in trespasses and in our sins. But God, who is rich in his mercy, by his grace, has called us to be his church. There's an illustration, a short illustration. You think of a pauper, and he goes into a bank. Think of someone that's poor, and maybe we've, each one of us has done this. We need a loan to pay a mortgage. We need a loan to pay a car. We need a loan for many things, and we haven't got the money, but we go to someone who's able to lend it to us, a building society, even a friend, a dependable friend who knows us. Maybe it's a member of our families, but we need something and we haven't got it because we want and we need to purchase what we feel we desire. And we go and we ask. Who could we ask better than God? Whenever we know that we need him, whenever we know that we need his grace and his mercy, And then he makes something beautiful of our lives. I sometimes tell people I wasn't born with a shirt and tie. I wasn't born with a clerical collar. There was a time when I remember telling my mother one Sunday morning, I think it was, I would have gone to church to please my mother in the past. But I wasn't interested in church. I wasn't interested in spiritual things. And so one day I said to her, Mum, I said, I have something to tell you. I said, I don't feel I want to go to church anymore. I was in my teens. They talk about the terrible twos. Well, the teens aren't much better for parents, aren't they, sometimes? My mother didn't say much to me to start with. And then on a Sunday morning, I didn't go anywhere. I liked to rest. I was an old man by that age, so I thought, and I needed more rest. I wasn't a child anymore. And further, I slipped away from spiritual things. Until one day, my mother gave me a good talking to. She said, you've become a heathen. She said, you'll go nowhere. Your language is terrible. You wouldn't have used it too much in front of her, or you would have been told, but she heard me when I was speaking to other members of my family. And she said, I'm so disappointed in you, but I didn't care because I felt, well, I've made my own decision. I'm a big boy now. I'm in my mid and my late teens. Then I went to a gospel campaign. I heard the good news of grace and the gospel and how the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And I suddenly realized that I needed Christ as my savior. Conviction of sin is a sharp thorn. And oh, I felt so, so guilty. And I thought, maybe I'm past God being able to save me now. And I think sometimes we still marvel at the grace of God being able to save us. But I felt so guilty. By that time, I was a young man, a taste of some of the things of the world. And all of a sudden I felt, could God save even me after what I have done? The devil gives you a good hand at thinking like that. You know, he tells you lies. After what you've done, after what you've said, after where you've been, God will have nothing to do with you. God is too holy. Yes, God is holy. But God has this lovely word in the Bible. And it's the word for by grace, you can be saved. Someone has said, the grace of God enriches the life. That's what we read in the book of Ephesians. That's what we read in the Gospel of John. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's more. And then it says, by this grace, for as many as receive him, for as many as come to know him, he gives them the power to become the sons and the daughters of God. It's as easy to understand as telling it to a child that wants to hear and receive it. It's just like an artist, isn't it? The artist, now you don't know anything about art, couldn't draw in school. You know, in those days, the teachers were a wee bit wicked. I think looking back, I couldn't draw at school. I wasn't good at art. And the teacher called me out a few times. She said, you're going to have to learn. And she said, hold out your hand. And she gave me two whacks in each hand. And I think I can feel the pain of it now. And if I couldn't draw before that, that put me completely off. But I do admire people who can take a piece of paper or a piece of canvas. And we go out and we see all those lovely pictures in the shops. Rhoda and I have been out to buy pictures for our new house. Oh dear, we fall out over that. Her taste is completely different to mine. But anyway, we've got two or three pictures together. But I sometimes look at them. We've got one of a lovely deer in the woods somewhere in the winter. It's a winter scene. If you come to our house, we'll show it to you. And if the price is right, I'll sell it to you. It's only a few bob in one of these shops. Oh, forget the name. It's out there anyway at the shopping centre. But anyway, I look at that and I think, well, there's a piece of canvas or whatever this painting's on. And I think to myself, that wasn't worth anything before somebody put the picture on, before somebody drew it and then printed it. And that's just like our lives, isn't it, with God? Nothings. Trespasses and sins. Blaspheme the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have done those things, as I used to have to say in the Church of Ireland many years ago, Lord, we've done those things we shouldn't have done, and we've left undone the things we should have done. God, help us to live a better life. But you can't live that better life just by child baptism and confirmation and naming a church rule book. Peter tells us something. It's a very special thing, this grace. It says, we are only receiving this grace through Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, nothing else can save, but with the precious blood of Christ. As a lamb without spot and without blemish. Let's go back to the other verse now in John's Gospel again. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The reason why you're here this morning and I'm here this morning and we're having fellowship this morning is through this grace that Christ brought in to this world. Who was he again? He was the Word. He was the Word with God, and he was the one who was with God. And there's salvation in no other name. You see, in this book of God and the Bible, we come to realize that we have been divinely chosen by a divine God. We have been chosen by him because of the grace that he has. Undeserved favor. Those who were outside his fold. And yet it tells us in the book of Ephesians. And I just want to leave you with a few things in this point. By his grace, we often talk about, I came to know the Lord. And so we did, but not before he came to know us. And in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, we read in verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him, in Christ we're chosen, and it's God that does the choosing, before the foundation of the world ever was put in place. That we should be holy. Now how does a lost sinner who has sinned and blasphemed against God, how does a lost sinner become holy? How do we become without blame before him? We can't, unless we taste of his grace. He has chosen you. He has chosen me. Maybe you think that you're not even saved this morning. You're outside his fold. But listen, this morning it tells us God has chosen us in Christ Jesus. And our part is to make this calling and this election sure. And that's what we could go on in verse 5 to look at. We're having time to take all these lovely words. By his grace, we are predestined. What for? To be the adopted children of God. By who does this happen? Well, the Bible says here, by Christ Jesus. God wants us for himself. According to what? the good pleasure of his will. And what is God's will? In being predestined. Well, the will of God is told clearly here, according to his good pleasure of his will. He has planned it, he's willed it, and he has brought it about. Oh, the love, oh, the grace that brought it down to man through Christ, the only begotten of the Father. And then we also read in the book of Ephesians, he has a reason choosing you and me. And the main reason is he doesn't want us to go to a lost eternity. We don't hear much preaching or much talking these days about hell. But there is a hell to shun, isn't there? And the only way to shun this hell is to come to God's good pleasure. And the reason is, not only does he want to bring us to heaven, but before we get to heaven, in his grace, he wants us to do what we can to work for his kingdom in the here and now. No good saying, oh, I got saved yesterday, or I got saved 10 years ago, and there hasn't really been much grace in your life and pleasure brought to God by giving glory to his name, by working for him. It goes on. It's all for the praise of his glory. If you want to follow, it's in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6. If you just want to listen, that's all right. To the praise of the glory of his grace. He wants his grace not only to be experienced, but to be made known through our lives. Oh, we live in a dark world, a pessimistic world. But then if we're in the church, and if we're in Christ, and we belong to him, and we know we've been chosen in him, and we've made our calling and election sure by receiving his Son as our Savior, then this world's troubles and the darkness of this world goes into a lesser place in our minds. I hate COVID. I'm sure you do too. I don't want to have COVID. I feel sorry for the like of Pastor Jim who now has it. But I can't change that. You can't change that. And there's a lot of things we don't like about this world. And sometimes we get ourselves in a flap and we get worried. But you see, if we can see it in the light of the work of God and in the grace of God, God is working everything out in according to the riches of his grace. Verse 7 of the chapter of the book of Ephesians again. In him we have redemption. We're different people. We've been redeemed. In whom we have had redemption through his blood. Even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his glory. And if we have that grace and richness applied in our heart, then we're not like the worldling. We're not like the person who only lives for this time. We see it by faith. There's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith in Christ and by the grace of God, by faith we can see it afar. We sing that chorus. And on that day, when my strength is failing, on that day when my time has come, I'm going to leave this world. We could all sing that as God's people. We know the time has come. It's appointed unto man once to die and then eternity. But for the Christian, we shouldn't be worrying. Yes, be concerned about our family. Help our family, encourage our family and think about our family. And there's nothing more some of us like than a Sunday afternoon whenever the family come and we're all together. We have three children. Someone said whenever they grow up, they leave you. Somebody said, yes, but they might leave you, but they'll come back again with reinforcements and you get the old boyfriend in the house. Some of them have liked and some of them, oh dear, I wish they never had to come over the door. Break hearts and things like that. But you know, we have a lot of concerns in this world. But isn't it good to know that we're not frightened? What have we to be frightened of? Even if we take an illness. I remember lying in the Musgrave Park Hospital, and it was an awful pain. And the nurses told me that I would need an injection, and it wasn't the vaccine. It wasn't as easy as that one. She said, "We're going to give you morphine." I'd never had morphine in my life. And my body reacted to it. And all of a sudden, I felt sick, and the man across the ward said to me, "Albert, you look ill." I said, "Oh, I'm all right." He said, "But you do look ill." And I could feel myself fading out, and I saw myself on top of the roof in the ward and everything like that. He said, "Call the nurse, press the button." I said, "Oh, I don't want to disturb the nurse." He said, "Well, I'll do it." And so the nurse came in, she looked at me, and she took my blood pressure, and then she called the other nurse. She said, "I want you to come in here immediately." What had happened was, with the reaction, the blood pressure, she said, fell very low. And other nurse came in, and they worked on me for a while, and I just felt this lovely, comforting feeling coming over me. I thought maybe I'm going to die now. And the amazing thing was, I didn't feel one bit frightened. I was just going out. And then I remember the two nurses, one explained me, said, "Albert, we're going to tilt the bed back." And she tilted it back up much, nearly fell out of the thing. They were very, very good nurses. And she kept me back there, and they kept saying to me, now, kept calling my name for some reason. And she said, just hold on, you'll be all right. And if I heard my name called once in this faraway land where I felt myself going to, I must have heard it about 40 times. "Albert, Albert, just stay, just be calm." And I was calm. And then I started to feel a wee bit better. Cut a long story short. The bed was set up again after a good while. And she said, "Do you know what happened to you there?" I said, "No, I haven't a clue." I said, "But I feel a bit better now." She said, "Well, your blood pressure fell very low." I think she probably gave me the details. I didn't understand that because I'm not medically trained. I said, "Well, you did a good job," and I thanked them for it. But you know, at that moment, I wasn't one bit frightened. The grace of God's a lovely thing, isn't it? And we take that grace with us to the end of this life, and by his grace and by his hand, he finally brings us to be with himself. So life for the Christian here, although it's a difficult life, and you'll know that, and I know that, and we have ups and downs, we have concerns, but we look on things differently than the people that don't know Christ, that don't know this lovely grace that he brings. But we know about it, grace and truth. And Jesus said, when we find him, we find the truth. For he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." God's wonderful in his grace. Predestined assures me that I have been on God's mind for a long time. Fearfully and wonderfully made. And the psalmist said, "Lord, when my mum and my dad conceived me, you knew all about my inner parts before I was born." He's known us a long time since we were born. But even more than that, he's known us even before we were born. He said to the prophet Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I sanctified you. I ordained you." It was all predestined, Jeremiah. And if you put your name in there, God's saying to you, "I have had you in my mind for a long time." The problem is that God has had me in his mind for a long time, but I haven't had God in my mind for a long time. But then the grace of God can change that in our lives, can't it? Chosen assures me that the hand of God is upon me. I love the words in verses 5 and 6. He has adopted us and he has brought us in. And by his grace and by his will, he has received each one of his children. So stop worrying about the things you used to do. Whenever the devil comes and reminds you of something that you have done, just think of the grace of God, and that grace that not only lifted you from sin, but that grace that keeps you, and that grace that assures you. And remember the words of the old Brethren Society hymn, although the accuser roar, and the devil will come and accuse you again and again. But we say, although the accuser, the old enemy, the evil one may roar of ills that I have done, we know them well, and thousands more. But Jehovah, our God, by his grace, finds absolutely none. We're justified. What does the word justified mean? Just as if I have never sinned. You might say, oh, but I have sinned. Yes, we have sinned. But the grace of God sees us in our new life in Jesus. New creature. Old things are gone. They should be gone. You know, there's some Christians today and they want to keep the old things. But the true Christian that has tasted of the water of life and the grace of God, all things pass away and all things become new. We're divinely chosen. We're divinely redeemed, and we haven't got time to talk about this next point, maybe the next one afterwards, and I'll try to do it within the next 5 minutes. Okay. Then your pastor preached for, was it 40 minutes last week or sometime? So I haven't got that time yet. Divinely chosen. What about the precious blood of Christ? We're divinely redeemed through the grace of God. Verse 7, I think it is. Yes, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according what to the riches, this is how the verse ends, the riches of God's grace. So salvation's all wrapped up in the grace of God, and all these other lovely words come with it. It's like a gift that we get, and we're all going to get gifts this maybe in coming week or over the next 2 weeks, and sometimes we open those gifts and it's just one thing in particular. But sometimes we open the bag and there are quite a few things and presents and gifts. And in receiving the bag, we receive all other good things in it. God doesn't just give us one thing in his grace. But whenever we have his Son in our hearts by faith in his precious work, then all other good things follow us. I love that wee hymn. The Lord has promised good to me, and his will, my hope, secures. Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins through the riches of his grace. And redeemed means to set free by paying the price. And we sing it at Easter. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin, the precious blood of Christ, the cross of Christ, and the sacrifice that he offered for us. No wonder the Bible states, and we read it there a bit together, it's not through anything else. Silver and gold, it's not that. With the precious blood of Christ, without spot and without blemish. You remember the apostles, Peter and John, were going up to the temple, and the old man was lying begging, and he expected that they would throw a few coppers at him, or I think in Israel they called it the shekels. And then Peter got his eyes on this man. He needed more than money. He needed more than human help. And he said to him, we don't have anything to give you of ourselves. Silver and gold, we don't have it. But we have something precious. Such as I have, give I unto you. The name of Jesus Christ. And by Christ Jesus, that day, the grace and the mercy of God touched that man. The dying thief must have seen, just in his dying hour, the one who was hanging on the middle cross. You remember what he said whenever he was rebuking the other unrepentant thief? He said, look, he said, we have done everything that we could do that wasn't good. He said, but this man on the middle cross has done nothing wrong. He's done nothing amiss, as we read in the Bible. And then he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He saw on that middle cross the Savior of the world, and that he could be bought with the precious blood that he could see flowing down the lovely brow and the body of Jesus. Divine grace is what Jesus has done for us all, and he's paid the price. He has redeemed us. And of course, in the days that Paul wrote this book, the book of Ephesians, the Christians or the people would have known fine rightly what redemption meant or what redeem meant, because there were about 6 million slaves right across the whole realm of the Roman Empire at that time. And of course, once you purchased a slave, he or she would be yours totally to do with what you wanted. Some awful things happened, didn't it, through the slave trades at different times in our world. But there were good men who bought slaves, and as soon as he or she bought his or her slave, they decided that they would set them free. Isn't that what Jesus did? He purchased us and he died for us to set us free. To lose the power of sin in our lives. And as God's people were called to walk with Jesus, to walk in the Spirit. And it's all possible, all these things, when we have known and applied the grace of God through his redemption. And finally, I just want to say, we're divinely sealed. You know, I don't know if you're a bit like me. There's sometimes you do get down. But sometimes you wake up in the morning and you feel that I'm sealed by God. You just have that witness of the Holy Spirit. I truly belong to God. And I have the witness that I am a child of God. I am saved. And you feel there's a seal on your life that was not there before you received Christ as your Savior. That's the witness of the Holy Spirit. Now I know, and most folk will know, what the doctrine of the Church of the Nazarene is. We can be set free by Christ. We're saved by his grace. And we know that there's an experience that comes by the sealing of the Holy Spirit upon the life. I don't see that as anything to be debated. It's quite much here in the Word of God. I'm sealed. And I'm sealed with God, and I have the Spirit in my heart. It says, if you have trusted in him for your salvation, and after you have believed, then you were saved by the Holy Spirit. And there's two things we can do. We can yield to the Holy Spirit, or we can just live life pleasantly as a child of God. I don't think God still gives us that free will. God would rather that he had people yielding to him than make us spiritual robots. But then in that doctrine of being filled with the Spirit, in a few years ago, it was preached, well, I think it was anyway, in a negative way. That there was this high, high standard, and woe betide you if you sin. God was standing over you with a big whip. Or if you didn't wear the right color of shirt or tie, or if you did something that somebody had felt that it was against the law of God and all the rest, and maybe it was only their own pet ideas and traditions. But being filled with the Spirit and having the Spirit of promise that it's called here by the grace of God, it's a pleasant thing. It wasn't really until I went to the Church of the Nazarene in Motherwell. That was our first church, by the way, long time ago. There's an old elder there called Leslie Roberts. Lenny and Sam might know him. He actually ministered here in the province. He was from Derbyshire in England, had a beautiful, beautiful musical English voice. And I'm not going to act it because I wouldn't do it any justice. I used to do that, but I can't anymore. Because I never thought I was good at it anyway. But it wasn't until we went to the Motherwell Church, Road and I was inducted as the pastor. There was this man of God. And he was different to other people that I heard preaching on the fullness of the Spirit. There was no bondage with him. There was a freedom with him. And you know, I was a very young pastor at that time, and I found him to be very gracious. I had heard holiness preachers here in the province. I was afraid of them, never mind being afraid of God. But here was a man. And I thought, what's the difference between Leslie Roberts and his wife, was a beautiful Christian lady, typical pastor's wife, very gracious and prayed for many people and saw people healed as well. But I said to myself, what's different about these two people, these two individuals? And God spoke to me. He said, I'll tell you what it is. It's not tradition they have in their preaching. It's not their own pet themes and ideas. It's not that they want to stand over you with a big whip. God said to me, it's one word sums it up. Their grace. And I found that in the grace of Jesus, in their lives, the fullness of the Holy Spirit was just like air that they breathed. It was easy as they breathed. They're finally sealed by God's grace, by His Spirit to live a life. And listen, if you've sinned as a Christian, and here's a wee word of encouragement, if you've sinned as a Christian, and who doesn't sin as a Christian? Let's be honest. Word, deed, and thought. God doesn't throw us out. God's gracious enough, and He has the grace. If you say, Lord, I've done something wrong, and I did it deliberately. As long as we don't try to cover our sin and say, well, I made a wee slip there, I told the odd lie, or etc., etc. I couldn't help it. I know a man sinned grossly, he said, couldn't help it. That's excusing sin. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And what does it say? He cleanses us from our unrighteousness that we have committed. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We're redeemed. We're filled by His Spirit. And it all goes back to that one day, doesn't it, or that moment when we receive Christ as our Saviour. And we're going on. Whenever I was a young Christian, I used to hear the pastor and his wife saying, backsliding is not an option. You must go on in the Christian life. And that was true. Our salvation continues. It doesn't stop the moment we say, Lord, remember me, forgive me, and let me come into Your kingdom. That's only the very start, isn't it? And I want to end by saying that when we first come to Christ, our salvation starts. That's the deposit. That's a start. But there's going to be many, many payments after that, isn't there? There's a past to be forgiven. There's a present to be lived out. And then there's a future to be secure. And that's why I see this morning, as we come up to the festive season, as we call it, this wonderful word, grace, that has done so much in your life and done so much in my life. Now, I only give you a couple of snippets of what God has maybe done for us, done for myself, but maybe the next time I come back, I'll give you my testimony. And trust that that will bring the grace of God even more near us. But we'll pray again for the pastor, Pastor Jim, this morning. And then we will have our closing hymn. I wanted that one, but the tape, not the tape, the internet had gone off. I wanted that one. Grace is a charming sound. grace will take us home, but it's not working. But we have another hymn. I'm trying to remember when I'm talking to you what it is. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Thank you, Lenny. So we'll pray, and if there's anybody